Okay, now we discuss a popular method to compute errors in the case of correlated data, which is called the blocking method. The idea of the blocking method is that of performing a recursive binning so that the new variables which are obtained after the binning are approximately independent. So let's see how it works. So imagine we have a run, and the configurations are x0 up to xn minus 1. I stop at n minus 1 so that I have n data. I don't have the ugly n plus 1 in the denominator. So we have n data, and then the number of the configurations goes from 0 to n minus 1. So we are using essentially the C language convention for vectors. So we go from 0 to n minus 1, and we have n data. We measure a function f of x, and correspondingly we have measurements f0, f1, f of n minus 1, capital N minus 1. Then we begin by binning the data 2 by 2. So we replace f0, f1 with its average. So we introduce a variable capital f1, subindex 0, which is 1/2 of small f0 plus f1. Boy, we have a variable f1 with subindex 1, which is 1/2 of f2 plus f3, and so on. So we average the first and the second variable, then the third and the fourth. So we first average f0, f1, then f2, f3, then f4, f5, then f6, f7, and so on. So we obtain a collection of variables which we indicate with capital F with a 1 on top. And of course, if we started with n data, the capital F variables are now n divided by 2. Their number is n divided by 2. Then we keep doing the same procedure. So again, we reapply the procedure to the variable f1, obtaining variables f2. So f2 is obtained by averaging pairs of variables f1, which corresponds in practice to taking blocks of length 4 of the original variables and taking the average of these blocks. So we start with variables which are obtained by binning the variables 2 by 2, then 4 by 4, then 8 by 8, then 16 by 16, then 32 by 32, and so on. So we get all these variables. The trivial observation is at page 2. Imagine that we are in equilibrium, so that the distribution of the xi is always pi, is always the equilibrium distribution, independent of time. Then, because of this reason, f of xi, average over the Monte Carlo repetition, is the average value of f with respect to pi, because the distribution of xi is pi. And this shows, incidentally, that there is no bias here. You see, the average of each value at each time over the Monte Carlo repetitions is the average of f with respect to the probability distribution pi, which immediately implies that the average value of the variables f1 are again the average value of f with respect to pi, independently of I, independently of the time step, of the Monte Carlo step. And the same is true for the variable capital f2, which are obtained by averaging blocks of length 4, and so on. So all these variables have all of them the same average. The average is always the average value of f with respect to the distribution pi, that now we call capital F. So this is the main property. So we are just binning the data, but we don't change the average values. Now, to understand how the method works, let's go directly to page 5. So we skip the derivation. We will come back later, but we first want to understand the practical procedure. So the practical procedure is described at page 5, And the idea is the following. So we compute all these variables, the variable f1, the variable f2, the variable f3, and so on. For each of them, we compute the error, assuming that these variables are independent. There are no correlations. So we use the formula for the uncorrelated data. So we estimate the variance of the variable, and we divide by the number of measurements that occur. We have, for the variable f1, we have n over 2 measurements. So the error sigma square 1 is 1 divided by n over 2, the variance of f1. Then we computed the error for the variable 2, which is sigma square divided by 2, 1 over m. And now m is n over 4, and so on, the number of measurements. So this is the expression. And then we plot all these errors as a function of the index. So we plot sigma square k as a function of k. We will prove immediately, we will go back to the proof, that sigma square k is an increasing function of k that converges to the correct error as k goes to infinity. So the main property of the blocking error is that it's an increasing function, okay? So once you increase the size of the block, sigma square k increases and converges as k goes to infinity to the correct one. So the idea is to compute sigma square k for k equal 1, 2, 3, 4, and look when the data form a plateau, or become essentially constant and independent, okay? And use this expression as your expression for the error. So in practice, what you expect is a graph as the one which is reported here. So you see the error increases. After a while, becomes more or less constant, more or less depends on how many data you've got. In practice, it may be constant in the sense that for a pair of values of k, it's essentially the same. And then it begins to fluctuate wildly. Fluctuate wildly is usually signaled by the fact that the error decreases, then increases abruptly, then goes back again, has a behavior which is not consistent with the fact that it should increase smoothly, in the sense that as k increases, the error increases, but of course the rate of increase should decrease. So at that point, you more or less estimate where the plausible plateau is, and you take that plateau as your estimate of the correct error, sigma square. We'll see some examples in the homework, which I've provided you today. So I will go back to this point when we discuss the homework. But now let's go to the proof. The proof is a little bit involved, so it's not, if you find it difficult, it's no problem. You can skip it. But I've included here so that you may understand why the blocking method works. So let's compute the variance in the blocking method for the first bin, the bin of length 2. Remember that the variance, the quantity delta 1, which is defined here at page 2, is independent of the index I. So you can take any variable I in this definition. So I simply take I equals 0. The value is independent of I. So we take I equals 0. And so this is the definition. Delta 1, which is the variance, is 1/2 f0 plus 1/2 f1 minus capital F squared. Then we do the square explicitly, and we get 3 terms. And you immediately see that these 3 terms are can be expressed in terms of the autocorrelation function. And so you see that delta 1 at the end is 1/2 c0 plus c1. So it's 1/2 the variance plus the autocorrelation function at time 1. So analogously, we can compute delta 2. Delta 2 is a little bit more involved. So I express delta 2 in the first line of page 3. I separate in the second term the four different pieces so that each one is written as Fi minus capital F, and 1/4 is outside and becomes 1/16. Then I do the square, writing all terms that appear in the square, so there are the four squares and then all double products. And then I rewrite all double products and all squares in terms of the autocorrelation function. So the third line, you see there are four, give rise to 4c0, because f0 minus f squared, f1 minus f squared, they're all c0. Then in the fourth line, in page 3, you get three contributions to c1, then we have two contributions to c2, and one contribution to c3. Then you put 1/4 inside, so that you get c0, 1/4 of c0, plus 3/2 of c1, 2/2 of c2, 1/2 of c3. And then you can generalize this expression. It's possible to generalize. And the generalization for delta 3 is below. We have 1/8, 1 to the 2 to the power 3. And then C0, 7 divided by 4, 6 divided by 4, 5 divided by 4, and so on. This is a formula that you can easily prove if you are careful enough. And then you can generalize the expression, which is written at the end of page 3. There is one prefactor, 1/2k, and then we have C0, and then we have the expression which is in, not in the last line, but the obvious generalization is in the line before. We have a sum from n to the 2k minus 1, and then we have these prefactors there. Then you rewrite as in the last line. It's simply, you just divide the term which is in the summation. And then what you recognize here, that inside the square bracket, we have C0. Then we have 2 plus 2, the sum of the correlation function up to 2k minus 1. The minus 1 is not... Okay, it's written not correctly. It's 2k minus 1, not 2k to the power minus 1. It's not 2 to the power k minus 1, but 2k minus 1. And then we have a correction, which is 1/2k minus 1, and then we have the summation of n cn. So let's compute the variance, and here you have to be careful that you have to divide by the number of measurements. So sigma square 1 is 2/n, because the number of measures here is n/2, delta 1. And so you get 1/n c0 plus c1. Remember that the correct formula is 1/n c0 plus twice the sum of the correlations. So here you see there is an improvement with respect to the independent error formula. The independent error formula only contains C0, while here we are taking somehow into account sum of the correlations, and there is an additional term, C1. Then sigma square 2, again you do the same calculation. Remember that the number of measures now is n divided by 4, and so you get 1/n. Then C0, and then you get additional terms which again take into account somehow the correlations. They are not yet the correct result, but still they are better than sigma square 1, because you take care of 3/2 of the correlation at time distance 1, 2/2 of the correlation at time distance 2, and 1/2 of the correlation time distance 3. And then you go on. You go on and you get the correlation sigma 3 and you get all these terms, which again include correlations up to time distance 7. And then we have sigma square k. Sigma square k can be written in the expression which is in the second line, a square bracket. So I've written the expression of the previous slide, and then also the other expression which is below. And then what you see? It's 1 over n, c0 plus twice the sum of cn from 1 to infinity. And the first two terms are exactly the correct expression which appears in the definition of the error. But then we have two other contributions which are smaller. You see, they are smaller contributions. They try to decrease sigma square k. The first one decreases exponentially as k goes to infinity, because this is the sum of the autocorrelation function from time 2k up to infinity. So this is a very tiny contribution. Then there is a second contribution, which is the one, which is the last one, which contains the sum of n, cn. And instead, this expression is proportional, essentially, to the length of the block. So this is the main correction. So it tells you that sigma square k converges to the correct error with an error which is proportional to the length of the block. And remember that the length of the block is of order 2k. So each time you get an error which decreases by a factor of 2, which is a nice decrease, but of course it tells you that you need very long blocks if you want to have a good convergence of the blocking method. So you see, if you increase k, so if you increase the length of the block, sigma square k converges to sigma square with corrections of order 1 over n, which is the main result that we use in practice.